No. But if you want to go eat, let me know. I can go to any restaurant at any time. I told somebody when Linda says it's time to eat, I go get in the car. I know we're going somewhere. And it's not because she doesn't cook. She said, I do cook. I said, yeah, but you always take it off when you do it. And it's not always that way. I like to kid her about that. Of course, I look like I've missed a meal or two, don't I? But it's good to have you here today. How wonderful it is. Memorial Day or Decoration Day, whatever you want to call it. This was started in, 1855, I think, in New York, in a town, Waterloo, New York. Some people started honoring those that were dead by placing flowers on their grave. I heard on PBS the other day, a fellow was talking, he had written a book on Stonewall Jackson. And in that book, he said that when Stonewall Jackson was respected so much by those in the North and also those in the South, that when they had his funeral, people started bringing flowers. They hadn't done that before. And said before long, flowers were just everywhere. Now, this fellow said that that's what started people bringing flowers to funerals. I don't know whether that's true or not. Sounded good. But we want to honor those people that are dead. We want to honor the soldiers that died. But not only, and listen to this, I don't want to honor just those that have died. I want to honor those that are living also, because they've had to sacrifice a lot. There's a lot of soldiers that come back and their bodies are broken, their minds are broken, their hearts are broken, and they have to go through the rest of their life through that. You've seen people like that, and I've seen people too. And I want to honor them also for what they have done and the sacrifices that they've made. If you were in the armed services, stand up. That's all you that were in the armed services, stand up. Okay, look at that. We've got several here today. Please be seated if you would now. Thank you so very much. We want to honor you and respect you for what you have done. Let's honor those that are dead because they gave the ultimate sacrifice. But I think every soldier sacrifices a great deal to be able to be a soldier. And we need to honor them. We need to show that respect for them because of what they have done, what they've endured, and what they've gone through. We need to do that. We have to do that in every way to let them know about that. But, you know, as we're thinking about that, what I want us to do today is to use this as something for us to understand some other things about religion. Not just to honoring soldiers, and I don't want to get in the way of that. I want to have a great deal of respect for that and honor those people for what they have done because of the sacrifice. But I also want to think about another sacrifice. And I want us to recognize another one that we honor, and that is the Lord. You see, we have the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. And I hope you understand that that is a memorial to Jesus Christ and what He sacrificed there for us. And it is a memorial that we don't need to forget. I think it's good that we honor our soldiers once a year, but we need to honor them all year long for what they've done. We need to do that. But the Lord wanted us to remember this and not to forget it. So we observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week to draw our minds closer to the cross and closer to the sacrifice, that it might influence us to do what's right and to live right. We are to examine ourselves and look at ourselves. We are to be those people that we recognize what the Lord did in establishing this. And we have the privilege of being able to receive this in the church today. And it causes us to just bring our minds back to this and to think about it just a little bit. Now, we need to understand some things about loss. We have a great many things that we have to go through in our life, and the loss of a loved one, either in armed service or just the loss of a loved one, causes us to have to do some things and to think about some things. One of the first things we do is we mourn the loss of one that is gone. We mourn their loss because we miss them in a great way. But not only that, we're willing to be to remember the lives that they live. And this is a part of our healing, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. It's to remember the kind of life that they lived and honor them for that. And then thirdly, we're thankful for the sacrifice that they made for us, for what they've gone through. I think Linda does too, think about the sacrifice that our parents did for us and what they endured for us. And I think you're thinking about that too. At least I hope you are. And those other people of the past that were willing to sacrifice many things in order that we might be where we are today. That we might have this building here today. That we might have the knowledge of God's Word today because it has helped us. Now I want us to look at these things and I want us to look at them in the right way. We need to honor people today. We need to remember and we need to understand and mourn the loss of loved ones. Wouldn't you love to be able to have that mother and that father back with you today that maybe they died in the armed services? Or maybe they're already dead. And wouldn't you love for them to be back and to be in your life? Wouldn't you love to just take your arm and just put it around them as you're sitting in the pew today? And just squeeze them a little bit. Maybe even lean over and say, I love you. I appreciate you. Our men and women have sacrificed a great deal for us to be able to be where we are today. For us to have the freedom that we have today. One of my cousins put a picture of her father on there. He was in Italy and had several pictures of him and other soldiers there. That World War II soldier. Those pictures that we often equate to that war. The men and the women that sacrificed there. And she was talking about how that she is glad that her father's dead in one sense. Because he's not here to see how far we have gone in this country away from our freedoms. And I think that may be true. But let me tell you something. Don't blame that on other people. If we don't stand up for it, you get what you deserve. Stand up for what's right. Vote for what's right. Do what's right. Live right. And encourage other people to do that. We've got to do that. We understand the loss and we understand the loss of someone. And you know, when we lose somebody, we come in with the if-onlys things, you know. If only I had said something to them. If only I had kissed them. If only I could hold them one more time. If only I could do this. Let me tell you something. Forget that. You can't do it. Don't think about the if-onlys. If you've got a loved one that's dead, it's over with. You can't do anything about that. But there is something you can do. You can pray to God for that person. And listen to this. This may sound strange to you, okay? I don't mind talking and letting those people know that I love them. To say, though, soldiers, I appreciate the sacrifice that you had, that you made for us, that you felt like you needed to do to give your life for us. And so I want to honor them because of what they've done. And I also want to honor Jesus Christ for what He's done. I want to understand the loss of Jesus Christ. Well, I would love for Jesus to be here today where we could talk to Him and ask questions about Him, but we can't do that. He's already gone back to the Father. If only we could talk to Him. If only we could ask Him a question that's troubling our mind, that's bothering us. Maybe a scripture that we've studied and we've looked at it and we've looked at it and we've looked at it, but we still just can't find out exactly what it says. Wouldn't it be wonderful? One of these days, we will have that privilege if we're willing to serve Him and do His will and show how much we loved Him. We need to remember what He did there on the cross. And sometimes we have the if onlys in that. If only I had not sinned. Romans 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only thing that kept Jesus Christ on the cross was not the nails. It was not the people that were there. It was the sin that was there in the life. If I hadn't sinned, maybe He wouldn't have had to go to the cross. He went to the cross for anybody. He will forgive anybody. Now, we could go and we could read in passages like Romans 18, starting in verse 12 there, where it talks there about what would happen if a shepherd lost one of his sheep. If one of his sheep walked away, Robert talked about this a while back, that shepherd would leave the 99. Now please understand, somebody said, well, he left all them and he just went to get that other one. Let's not be selfish about this. He left those 99 in a protected place, in a guarded place, in a place of peace and safety. But He went out for that one that was lost. And He went out and He found that one and He brought that one back. Listen to this. Why do you think if a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 and go onto the hills and go and look for that one? And when he finds that one, he takes that one and he places it on his shoulders. Now, could you imagine that sheep, lamb, whatever you want to call it, it's been lost. It may be dirty. It may have briars in it. But he takes that and puts it on his shoulders. And he takes it back to his house. And he calls all of his friends and says, come in, listen, that I lost has been found. And he tells two other stories there about those lost things. Talks about a lady and her coins. Talks about also a father and a son. But here he goes and he seeks that one. If there had only been one person in this world that had sinned, Jesus Christ would have come to die for them. But he didn't come for just one. He came for all of us. But please understand, he was willing to do that. He was willing to make that kind of sacrifice for us because of his love for us. Because his desire to forgive us. Because of his desire to help us to be a person that is right with him and that we're going to be willing to follow him. We need to remember the lives of people that have died. We need to remember the lives of those people that are our mothers and fathers that died in the war. And I hope you do that tomorrow, and it's not just a day off for you where you can cook and do this and do that, but I hope you, sometime in that day, you think about those people and you remember what they have done and you remember their lives. A part of being able to deal with a death is being able to remember the life of a person. Sometimes because of death, our mind is so keyed up to we're losing something, that we can't see the life of the person that was there. We can't understand the joy that we had in their life and having them with us for the time that we did. I've had mothers that had a baby only just for a few hours. Never will forget it. Always remember it. And it's always there. We do that when we remember that child. We remember the sacrifices that other people have had to make for us. And you know, I think tombstones are some of those things that we kind of help to remember people by. We don't do tombstones like they used to. I like graveyards. It sounds weird, but I like graveyards. They have some of the best sayings on those older graves. I mean, they'll tell about a person's life there. They'll talk about maybe it's a poem or maybe it's something that they did. We go briefer nowadays. On tombstones today, we say, rest in peace. We say, this is my loved one. They're gone too soon. On a tombstone for two twins, the words were written there, beloved sons. And so we put those things on. I've told people what I want on my grave. When I die, as I told you, I was sick. I heard a fellow that had that put on his grave. But we do that to honor that person. We do that to help them remember some things about their life, just a little bit about them. We want others that are coming down to be able to see and honor those people. We have this today. I suppose if there was a headstone for Jesus, and I know there can't be one because he's alive. But if he had a headstone, I think this is what would be written on it. You can see it on the front of this table in here. The passage that was read in your hearing a while ago in 2 Corinthians 11, or 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. Now, I maybe this is the headstone up here. To cause us to think about this Lord's Supper. To cause us to think about what the Lord has done and the sacrifice that he's made. The sacrifice that he has given for us. So we have this today. And we have it every first day of the week so that we can observe it and it can be a part of us. It teaches us and helps us to understand and remember what Jesus Christ did. We observe the bread and we partake of the bread. And that, you know, bread is something that sustains people. We don't realize how important bread is in the rest of the world. But bread is one of those stable things that is there in most of the homes of people in the world. It's a thing there that they live by, that bread. And so here they take that to sustain the physical body. But we understand that this bread is not for the physical body, but it's for the soul. It's to sustain the spirit that is within us. The spirit of what Jesus Christ did there on the cross. And it's to draw us to that cross and what Jesus Christ did there. It's to remind us of spiritual things, not just physical. You're not going to gain a whole meal out of this. That won't work. But you can gain enough to cause your mind to think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross and the sacrifice that He made there for us, what He did there for us. And it causes us to remember the life that He lived and what He went through and what He endured. And He did all of that for us so that we could be forgiven of our sins. He went to the cross for us. And it draws us to that cross. And we think about the life that He lived and the life that we're to live. It causes us to think about our life. Not just the physical, but also the spiritual. He wants us to think about that, and He wants us to be a part of us. We remember not only just the facts of it. I mean, you can read the passage. We can know what this is. But please, don't let this just be a ceremony. If you go to some of the ceremonies that they will have tomorrow, and I assume that they'll have one at our Veterans Museum in Athens, they usually do, a thing to honor those soldiers that gave their lives and those that are still living, the sacrifices that they have made, to honor them, to do that. But here, it helps us to be drawn closer and closer and closer to God and what God has done, what Jesus Christ has done. And we see the tremendous gift that He's given to us. We see the tremendous honor that He's blessed upon us. And so we have that. And it's not just a ceremony. And if it's just a ceremony for you, you've missed the whole point of it. It's not just coming in and taking the bread and taking the fruit of the vine and you just do it because we do that every week. Don't let that happen. Don't do it. But recognize that this is not just the ceremony, but this is the dedication that we're giving to God. This is something that we're drawing closer and closer to God. Listen to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and of the blood. But let a man examine himself, and drink this cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Do we realize how serious this is? Do we realize how serious the Lord's Supper is in the lives of those that are Christians? We need to. We need to be thinking about it. Somebody said, well, do you examine yourself? That's a part of it. That's not all of it. But we look at ourselves, and it's not, am I worthy to partake of this? I am not worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. Except Jesus Christ has forgiven me of my sins, and He's told me to do this, and I do this in honor of Him. To show my honor to Him and what He sacrificed and what He's done, and to see His life and to live out His life. I've got to do that. And it's not just that, but it's the honoring of God. In a great way. It's to be done by a person who is trying to live their life right. But let me tell you something. Please don't think I'm saying in this that if you have committed a sin, you shouldn't observe the Lord's Supper. I don't know where we got the idea that we can't observe the Lord's Supper if we've sinned. Because I'm telling you something. If that's the case, we might as well take it off and put it back in the back because none of us deserve it. We are given this honor. We're given this honor because of the life that Jesus lived and the sacrifice that He has made. What He's done for us and how He's blessed us. Now, look at this. We are to remember the sacrifice. And I've talked already about sacrifice and the sacrifice that Jesus made. But we're to remember the sacrifice. We're to remember the sacrifice of those soldiers and what they did. And we're to honor them. I don't know about you, but in Marietta, Georgia, as you're going into Marietta on one of the roads there, I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but you pass a veteran cemetery. And it's those crosses. Little crosses that are maybe this high, about this wide. But you look at all of them, and they're all in a row. They're all there. That's a person. That's a body. That these people sacrificed what they had for us. They were willing to give up what they had so that we could have the freedoms that we have today. And let me tell you something. If you don't honor them, you don't deserve what we get. We need to honor those soldiers for what they have done, for the sacrifice that they have made for all of us. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of those people who are willing to sacrifice for me. I need to be willing to do the same thing. And I've got to be willing to do that for this country, that we can have the freedoms that we have. I'm humbled because of what they did. Those people went to war. They went in the Army. They went in the Navy, the Marines, the Coast Guard, all the armed services, Air Force, I'm about to forget them. They went into all of those. And they were willing to die. Didn't want to, but they were willing to give that up. Jesus Christ came to this world, and He was willing to die. In fact, He knew He was going to die. And He knew the manner of His death, what He's going to have to go through. But He was willing to do it because of us, the sacrifice that He made. Somebody says, well, wait a minute. You know, Jesus Christ asked me to do a lot of things and to sacrifice a great deal, to give up my will for His will. Yes, He does. Because look at what He did. Remember the time when He said, let this cup pass from me? But then He said, not my will, but Your will be done, Father. What You want is more important than what I want. He was willing to sacrifice everything. He was willing to give His blood there. And we represent that by the fruit of the vine that we have here. It is a representation. It is not the blood of Jesus Christ, but it is that which represents that blood, so that it will cause us to think about what He sacrificed there for us. The blood that was there, that was shed on the cross, that He was willing to give up for us. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, in the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. Do it and think about Me. So, yes, we're thinking about ourselves, and we're thinking about our sins, and that we need to be a better person, but we're also thinking about what He did. We don't deserve it, but He was willing to give it. He was willing to shed His blood. He was willing to shed the blood that He had. Now, I'm not going to sing this song. I thought about having Paul do it, but didn't get to him in time. Listen to this song. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to go over it so some of the older people here grab their heart anytime they think I'm going to sing. Listen to this. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing from the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? That song is in our book. It's a wonderful, great song. We have singing tonight. Maybe somebody tonight will think about that and sing that. But the question is, are we washed in the blood of the Lamb? As we observe the Lord's Supper today, do we recognize the sacrifice that He's made? Do we recognize the life that He's given? Do we recognize the honor that we need to give Him in that? He deserves me living the right kind of life because of what He did and what He went through and what He sacrificed. I need to be willing to do that. So remember, not only the soldiers do that, and you need to do that. They deserve that. But remember, if you will, in just a moment when we observe the Lord's Supper, what this is and the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. And I hope it causes you to think about your life and think about your life and the way you're going to live because you observe this. Oh, ceremonies are wonderful things. They're great. This is not a ceremony in one sense. It is us drawing ourselves closer to God and closer to Jesus Christ. It is us seeing the sacrifice that was made, seeing the life that was lived, seeing the love that was shown, and causing us to live a little bit better. Ah, the sermon, it may not be that good. Don't tell people, but preachers' sermons are not always good. I know it's a shock to you, but that's the way it is. This can always be good in our heart and in our life. That's what Paul talked about to the people at Corinth. Let it be something that's important. Let it be something that draws us. Now today, if you're here and because of what we talked about in Bible class or because of what happened to you this week, because your mind is thinking about your obedience to God, be willing to confess your sins and have them forgiven. If you want the prayers of the church for you publicly, we'll do that. We're honored to do that. And let me tell you something. It's not us forgiving you. It's the Lord forgiving you. But now we'll do it too. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, let me tell you something. Observing this does not make you right. It helps you to realize that you are right. Hear this gospel. Believe it. Believe it so much that you're willing to confess your sins. Believe it so much that you're willing to say, I'll be immersed in water for the remission of those sins, that I'll be cleansed and I'll be right. Look at Acts 2. Look at the first 9 chapters of the book of Acts and see what those people did there. And only do that. And we'll assist you and help you in that. We have physically all the things that are necessary. Spiritually, that's something you have to offer. That's the sacrifice you have to make. And compared to our salvation, it's nothing. And then we live that life as we serve God. Please, I want to encourage you. Think about your soul. We sing this song to encourage every one of us to think about our soul.